Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 23rd, 2015. With Mission Watch Live, we are one in the world as it happens. If you need anything after this program, please call me. If you need prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Our program archives can be found there. If you scroll down on the right at prophecyhour.com, you'll find a link that says radio archives. Click on it. It'll take you to podomatic.com. Anyway, at both sites are very smartphone friendly, and you can listen to radio programs from there. And at the archive site, there is apps for Google, on Google for Android and for that other one, which is what, iPhone. Anyway, go over there, get an app. You know, and I hear 50% of the people out there are listening by their smartphones. Okay, now prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, and not necessarily our guest will. So please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, our guest tonight is Mark Baird. He's also the president. He is a president of a water right groups in Northern California called Scott Valley Protect Our Waters. Okay, that's Scott Valley Protect Our Water. He's also the leading grassroots advocate and spokesman for the state of Jefferson. So whose fault is the drought in California? Well, Mark is here to shed some light on that and much more, because we're going to ask him about the state of Jefferson. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks, Todd, for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm really glad to have you on, and you know, there's two real subjects there that I want to discuss. Maybe we'll go into the water first, and then you can tell us about Jefferson, and I got some questions about it. But I've seen a couple of headlines now that maybe this drought in California could have been avoided. So I guess the first question is, how bad is the drought? And then second, how could it have been avoided?
Well, the drought is real. The Western United States has been subject to drought for probably, 5,000 years or so. And tree ring data proves that out. But the crisis here is a crisis in management, because we know there are droughts. They come and they go. And that's why a state has to plan ahead and have water storage. But in the state of California, they worship the creation, not the creator. And so they will let, that last year the governor let 1 million acre feet of water go to the ocean to protect a fish that wasn't in trouble to start with. So that's enough water for 5 million people for 1 year. Already this year, he's let 55,000 acre feet of water. That's about enough water for, say, 750,000 people for 1 year go to the ocean in order to protect steelhead trout. And those trout are not endangered anyway.
Yeah, really. So what you're saying, that they could have did something like what? Build dams? What could they have did?
Well, first of all, when you have water impoundment facilities, hold the water until you need it. Don't let it go. to supposedly save the environment when the environment isn't in any trouble to start with. And second of all, no new water storage has been built here in 2.5 or 3 decades, although the population of the state has increased by 30 or 40%. The governor just passed an $8 billion water bond. It's going to cost the taxpayers of California $360 million a year for the next 40 years. And guess how much of that money is going to go to build water storage? Zero.
Zero. That's ridiculous. Well, you know, I whenever I want to look at a liberal state, you know, of course, California is number one on the list. Although I was born in San Jose, California. I was brought to Kansas when I was about 3 or 4 years old. The environmentalists, isn't California really under the control of people that believe in all that environmental stuff?
Well, California is under the control of 3 or 4 major cities. Probably, we have 58 counties here. Probably 35 of them are rural, and they're good, decent people, just like in Kansas or Arkansas, Nebraska, Dakotas, anywhere. But because of a Supreme Court opinion where the Supreme Court of the United States took control and declared the Constitution of the United States invalid in the Reynolds versus Sims decision, nobody in rural California or any rural county in any state has any say over their own affairs. Politics are run from major cities, and those people don't understand what it takes to live and grow food in this country.
Yeah. Now, for the record, isn't California one of the huge suppliers of fruits and vegetables to the rest of the country and maybe the world?
Well, we grow 25% of the food consumed in this nation is grown here in California, although that's going to be difficult this year because there are hundreds of thousands of acres that are being fallowed because of mismanagement by the state government of our water resources.
You know, when I first heard of the problems with growing was actually clear back, I think, when Obama first came into office. And I think it was over the San Joaquin Valley. I think didn't they just turn off the water spigot, so to speak, to save some kind of fish?
Yeah, they shut off the water to the Central Valley Project to supposedly save the Delta smelt. Well,
yeah.
The smelt is a fish that ranges from California, clear around the Alaskan Peninsula, and all the way to the Sea of Japan. The smelt is not an endangered species. There are smelt in the Delta just like there were 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago. And remember, these fish are called an R species for a reason. Every mother fish lays 3,000 eggs. They're built for hard times. We have had droughts. Oh my goodness, what did the fish do before mankind came along to save the environment? How did they make it?
Amen. I agree with you. I think, you know, I don't know. Well, let's go like this. I believe that we should, you know, take care of our land. You know, we should take care of the earth. But I believe most of this is just environmental wackoism that's just meant to control instead of really do something that's real, and it destroys go ahead.
What you said is very, very important, and I would like your listeners to really pay close attention to this and to thoroughly understand this concept. This has nothing to do with the environment. Governments by nature are amoral. They do not have morality. They simply exercise power. The goal of every government and every government agency is to grow, to get more money, and to hire more employees and to exert more control over you. And if you don't start to get involved and defend your liberty against the oppressive government that is coming, and you can see it every day all around you, then shame on all of us, because it is our duty and our responsibility to secure liberty for our children.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And to choose to hold back water for a fish smelt instead of giving it to that is just one of the San Joaquin Valley, is one of the most beautiful places and, you know, productive places in the world. And to hold that water back for a fish smelt, that's criminal in my eyes.
Well, to waste the water that would have supplied 175,000 people to protect a half a dozen steelhead trout should be government malfeasance, and people should be in prison.
Do you think that, okay, so now we're headed towards, you know, the people, you said that California is controlled by several cities, or so to speak. So is there any hope for California pulling out of being liberal? I mean, it seems like it gets more liberal all the time.
Well, there's always hope for liberty, but once again, if you can't define liberty, how can you defend it? In Northern California, we have committees in 20 counties. We have 8 counties who have already signed declarations to withdraw from the state of California because of lack of representation. What we want to do is create a state where every single county has equal representation in the state senate, and every single county has at least one representative in the lower house of government, so that we can restore constitutional liberty, property rights, First Amendment rights, Second Amendment rights, and individual liberties to our citizens.
Okay, so I'm over here looking at the, you know, I guess it's the county of Jefferson, or state of Jefferson. I'm looking at really the state, the great seal of the state of Jefferson. Let's expound on that. What are you talking about? I mean, can you withdraw? I mean, I've never heard of anybody breaking away except clearing the Civil War. Tell the folks about it so they'll understand.
Yeah, in the Constitution of the United States, Article 4, Section 3, the founders foresaw the need to either create new states or to bring new states into the Union. To separate from an existing state has been done before, 4 times in our history. The last time was West Virginia from Virginia. Before that, it was Maine from Massachusetts, Vermont from New York, and Tennessee from Virginia. This is legal, ethical, and moral. All it requires is 50% plus one vote in your state house and 50% plus one vote in Congress. And that's what we're trying to achieve, so that we can return to constitutional republic and people will be free to worship God and own property and use that property to make a living for themselves and their families.
Okay, let's talk about this, the state house first. You're talking about the state house of the state of California. Do you have enough support there? I thought it was mostly Democrat or liberal, so to speak.
Well, when we first started, we did not. Now, the latest Sacramento Bee poll, 83% of the people who responded favored state split. So our support is growing because people recognize that they don't have liberty anymore. And they cry out for that. People all over the world. When you were born, liberty was placed in your heart by our Creator. Your inalienable rights were placed in your heart by our Creator. All human beings were born free and independent. And when they're denied their liberty, something is wrong inside, and they know that. And so, yes, I think we can do it. But if we're ignored, or if the state says no to us, then we're going to sue them for lack of representation and dilution of vote, and we'll try to get out that way.
So if you get the, let's say you get, you have what you need in California, do you think you'll get that kind of support from, you say, the federal government, right?
I've spoken to a couple of United States congressmen, and they say that the arithmetic for creating a new state is not bad right now. So if we can get this done in the next year or so, it's very likely that we can succeed.
Well, can it succeed with Obama in office? There's a good question, I think.
Article 4 does not say the president has to sign the legislation, and it doesn't mention the governor of California either.
Oh, really? Well, then you got two real good points on your favor, because neither one of them would sign, you know.
Constitution is a fairly small document. It's pretty easy to read. I recommend everybody read that thing. That's the owner's manual. That's the rule book that we're supposed to live by in this country. And if we can't define the rules, we also cannot tell when the government is breaking the rules.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe it should be standard. When I was in school, it was standard reading. You know, I'm 59 years old. When I was in school, it was standard reading. You know what I mean? We studied the Constitution. And in fact, I think I still have some place laying around my sister's ninth grade history book, which has, if I want to know anything about the Constitution, all I got to do is go to her ninth grade history book that's still laying around. And it has all about it. Kids aren't being taught that nowadays.
No, and that's our fault. We are the stewards of these children, and we are the stewards of this government. Look, that people created government, not the other way around. Has the servant become more important than their master? That's what we have to ask ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I'm really glad to see y'all standing up. You know, and like I say, I was born in California, but, you know, I've only been back there once since I was born, and it was, you know, I was about 22, and it was just really crowded because I went to San Francisco, and I was overwhelmed by traffic. But there was some really, it's really beautiful country, though. But so you're the state of, now what are you to the state of Jefferson? Are you a lobbyist? Are you the head of this? What's the story? Who are you?
I'm a spokesperson for the Jefferson Declaration Committee. Myself and several others in our area in Siskiyou County started this effort, and of course it's a team. It takes all of us to do it. I'm nobody special. There are a lot of guys like me out there working to get this done.
I have somebody that actually my producer is in Oregon, and he said the state of Jefferson actually stretches into part of Oregon. Is that true?
Well, historically, the effort has included some of the southern Oregon counties, but here's our problem. We're Californians, and we're working down here to get this done in California. We welcome our friends and neighbors from southern Oregon, but they got to get off the couch and turn off the TV and start doing this themselves because we can't do it for them.
Right. I get the picture. He thought that it was a part of it, but amen. So, going from that, how many other counties? I'm looking at a map, and I'm seeing a white areas, and so there's other counties that are planning to do this, or you just, Jefferson is all alone to break off?
No, go to our website, and our website is S as in Sam, OJ51.net, and that's
I got your website up.
Okay, that's got the current map of activity. The dark green are counties that have already signed. I don't remember what the other colors are, but we have a total of 20 counties in California that are active in this effort. And then we're talking to people in Klamath County, but they haven't done anything yet. So they're kind of on the fence at this point.
Oh, okay. I get it. I understand the map now. I just wasn't reading the map clearly. I see the green ones, and then you have yellow ones, and then you have pink and white and purple. Okay. So does this website tell, you know, we got a lot of people in California that listen to our radio program and all over the country are curious about things like this. What should you point them to if they get to this website? Because we'll advertise this website when this goes out to podcast. Right now we're live radio. When it goes out to podcast, we'll advertise it. There will be a link to it. What should they look for when they get there?
The website is www.soj51.net. And that has all of the county news for all the counties that are in. It has our financial models, how the state would function. It has all of the business of Jefferson is on that website. And it also has a way that you can contribute because the lawsuit, the change back to representative government, is going to be a whopper, I predict.
Okay, we'll for sure pull these people over. There will be people that come to look at it. We got about 5 minutes left in this half, and then we'll let you go after the first half. But, you know, what else would you want the people to know about out there? You know, you got about 5 minutes.
What I'd like people to know, Pat, this affects everyone, because in 1964, James Earl Warren, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, declared that states do not have the right to elect state senators or state representatives by county. And that is contrary to the Constitution. He invented the principle of one man, one vote, and it caused all political power in the United States to shift to the larger cities where most of the people are. But when you look at it, Warren made that principle up because every state has two senators. Vermont has two and California has two. So the federal model of government is enshrined in our Constitution and has been for 238 years. Now, what Warren did was he changed politics forever in this nation, and unless we overturn Reynolds versus Sims or find a different remedy to that case where we expand representation so that every county has it, this country will continue to get worse and worse and worse with lack of representation for rural counties in every state in the nation. That's what we're hoping to change with the state of Jefferson.
Yeah, amen. So if you succeed, actually that would give hope to the rest of the country. and maybe it might make some, you know, other states stand up and listen to their constituents instead of thinking the same thing would happen there.
If we succeed, it would set precedent to where other states could return to the federal model of government and return checks and balances to their state as well.
Well, our government, we do need to turn back the clock, so to speak. You know, we need to go backwards instead of forward because right now we're almost under a dictatorship. I mean, Obama's getting to do just about whatever he wants. And I know that a lot of liberal states are doing about whatever they want, and so we've got to reverse the thing. There's going to be America left. Let me ask you about one question. You're out there in California. Are you being overwhelmed with immigrants, and how do you feel about that?
Well, I live in far northern California, about 20 miles from the Oregon border. We really don't see very much of that. But from our friends and relatives in Southern California, we hear about it. But look, Pat, when you live in a lawless nation where the president fails to uphold the law, and you live in a lawless state where the government picks, where the governor picks and chooses which laws he wants to enforce that week, what do you expect to happen? You know, this is our own fault. We are the guardians of liberty. The people are, not the government. And if we can't define liberty, how can we defend it? And if we can't define tyranny, how can we defeat it? So it is up to the people to change this. We're the only ones that can do it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, I on this program, I complain about, you know, there's more Christians supposed to be in this nation than anybody else. But yet there's no voice. I don't hear, you know, the church yelling out. I don't see people standing up. The best thing that I saw come up in years was the Tea Party. And then basically the IRS seemed to have shut that down almost.
Well, I got to tell you, if normal Christians had gotten off the couch and voted in 2012, at the exact same rate they voted in 2008, Mr. Obama would not have won his election. This is our own fault. We did this because of apathy. We did it because we weren't paying attention. We did it because we didn't care about securing liberty for our children. And as you sow, so shall you reap. And we are the only ones, the body of the people, are the only ones that can change this dynamic. We are our only hope.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. We're on the very same page, brother. Everybody needs to stand up. They need to get out and vote. They need to do these things. But you're right. Unless people do, then it's not going to work. Well, I applaud your efforts, and I pray that you come to success. We'll advertise your website, and this will go out in podcast, and it'll be up for a very long time. We usually, once we put a radio program up to podcast, we're on live radio right now, of course, but once it goes to podcast, it stays up until it's forever. We don't take them back down. So you be blessed, brother. Maybe we'll talk about it again. Would you give your website one more time? I have to say goodbye.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate the time.
All right. Be blessed. Bye-bye. Well, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes, and we're going to talk some more about this. We're going to talk, so we'll be back.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Yes, it's summertime, and we're dealing with more and more people every day, and we're also in what we call, it's summertime. I noticed today, though, on the Drudge Report, it said 23 states are experiencing snow, so winter's back. But anyway, people are starting to plan their vacations and things, and in the economy we have, people use their spendable cash to go on a vacation, and they don't always, they don't have enough to also donate to us, or they donate less, which I'm not downing, because most of these people, we're not their 10%, we're not their tithe, we're just something extra that they're donating to. And so, donations really start to go down, and they have actually really started to go down. And a lot of that is just because Obamacare. Remember, it's tax time, and Obamacare and taxes has cost more. And so we really do need your help. We're in our 15th year of being here and helping people, but we really need your help. We also need help with radio airtime. So we need to pray it in. You folks out there, if you absolutely can't afford to donate anything, become prayer warriors for us. Help us pray this in. Pray that we get some new supporters. We're really in a pickle. We need to raise some money real quick. This ministry does. We need to raise between $4,000 and $5,000 just as quick as possible. And I know, I'm not getting rich over this. And the money is used for the mission church. It's used to feed and care for the people. That's what it's used for. So pray about it. Pray about it. Anyway, why do so many people come to us for help? Because love. That's the first answer. That we give them a relationship. They're treated as family. They're not treated like clients. They come in and they're treated with love. We don't have any really set guidelines. People come in and ask for what they need. And if we have a way to do it, whether it's a pair of shoes, they need stitched up, they need medicine, they need Bibles, they need prayers, we try to give them that which we have, you know, down to the last dollar in our pocket. Anyway, even agencies tell people about it. So, you know, pray about it. We really do need your help. And we are the last hope for so many. As folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all the information at prophecyhour.com or call me at 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And remember, pray about supporting radio airtime, because radio is not free. We have to pay for satellite. This is a satellite radio air program. We have to pay for airtime. We have to pay to be on the Internet, so on and so forth. So pray about supporting that. And the program that we had last week, by the way, with Kenneth Upgrove, we were talking about a dream vision by this woman. And the next thing that happened, we were getting ready to come up to Prophecy Hour, which is an hour from now, and the guests canceled out of the blue. They got sick and canceled. Well, if you didn't listen to that program and you listened to the one with Kenneth Upgrove, we were talking about a dream vision. Well, I read that dream vision because, you know, we had been talking about, and that dream vision prayer, that program last week has had more downloads out of the podcast than any radio program I did in months and months. It's really hitting up there. So the dream must be really important, and so I suggest you go over and listen to that program. It's in the radio archives. If you haven't done so already, do so and share it with others. And now we're still going to talk about this subject of the great state of Jefferson, but I'm going to bring on a person I consider to be expert on this subject, and that's our producer, Frank. Are you there with me, Frank?
I am.
Hey, isn't this the kind of thing that you'd talk about on your radio program?
Yeah, I in the past I have talked about it. It's something that is it's a great idea, and it's, I feel, necessary. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons why. And the main reasons why is because Southern Oregon and Northern California share cultural and political views. And both Northern California and Southern Oregon are far, far removed from the culture and political views in Oregon from the north, and in Northern California from Southern California. You know, they're very liberal in Southern California, and they're very liberal in Northern Oregon. But Southern Oregon and Northern California are conservative.
Well, let me butt in. And you said rural. That probably lead to my question. Why do you think that it's like that? It seems kind of funny, you know, on top of you and below you guys, but yet you guys share more of a conservative background. Why do you think that is?
Well, both are isolated from the other part of their state, both culturally, geographically, politically. We're just isolated from them, okay? We don't, you know, like, for instance, Southern Oregon, you know, we got a big mountain between us and the north. We've got a mountain range, you know, between us and California, but, well, on the western side, on the eastern side there isn't, but I don't know why exactly, you know, I think it's because it's mostly rural. And I think that's probably the main reason, is because it's just more rural. Northern California has Redding, which is a fairly decent size, maybe 100,000 people or so. And then Southern Oregon has Medford, which is, I guess about 80,000 people. But Medford has a metro area, where mm-hmm. Redding doesn't. Okay, Redding's a bigger city, but Medford's a bigger metro area because, you know, Medford proper is about 80,000 people, but then surrounding it you have, you know, Central Point, Eagle Point, right. White City, then you've got Ashland, and, you know, you've got these smaller cities, but, you know, they add up. and they're separated a little bit, and they've got their own identities. But I think it's mostly the isolation and the being from being rural.
Right. Well, I'm gonna go with this. If you look at the nation as a whole, you will find that where the bigger cities are actually more liberal, more populated, more liberal. The more rural it seems that the communities or the states are, the more conservative they are. And I don't know exactly why that is. I guess they just got more to do in the big cities. What do you think?
Well, I think the reason is because, you know, you work for who pays you. And in the city, quite frankly, too much of their population is on welfare. They are dependent on the government. And that's just a fact, because there ain't enough jobs. And people congregate in cities, and then they get there, and they got no jobs, they got no nothing, so they get a free check, they get free housing, they get free this, they got rent control, this and that. Everything's controlled by the government. You're basically living in a communist society, which communist societies depend on government. Government is liberal. Give me, give me, give me. You know, not get out and work. Come on, let's make something here. Let's make ourselves an opportunity. And, you know, and I'm not saying, I am not mentioning the Republican Party in that, because they no longer represent that ideal anymore.
We would take a whole nother program or a couple of programs to discuss what all happened to the Republican Party. But, you know, originally, I'll say it like this, originally they were the conservative party. Now you have people up there that you couldn't tell them from a liberal.
You know, look what they just did, Dan. They just, they just confirmed Loretta Lynch. Now the Justice Department can be called the Lynch Mob.
The Lynch Mob, yeah, and they're wanting to hand Obama that trans Asian, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the NAFTA on thing. Crack.
Yeah, and it's the Republicans that are wanting to hand it to him.
That's
the Democrats that are dragging their feet.
Well, that's because in that, you know, the whole thing is that, well, they did the same thing with NAFTA, and we see how that's worked out. You like NAFTA? You're going to love this, because this is just a corporate welfare, okay? That's all it really is, and the Republicans are good for that, because that's who pays them. We go back to, you work for who pays you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But now, the one thing about this modern state of Jefferson, it isn't a state of Jefferson, okay? If it doesn't include Southern Oregon, then it's not the state of Jefferson. Now, I think it's a great idea if Northern California wants to split off from California. Gosh, I can't imagine being connected to California myself, at least not the southern part. You know, you got to be kidding me. I find, California to be the scourge of the planet, but, you know, if they want to split off, I couldn't blame them for that, but that's not the state of Jefferson, okay? That's like me, you know, taking something that somebody else has been working on and, you're going to make a car called Catlin's car, right?
Right.
Well, I decide, well, you know what? I'm gonna make a motorcycle instead, and I'm going to call it the Catlin. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, it's not the same. And just because you didn't finish your car doesn't mean I can just go and, you know, take your name and pretend I'm you. You know,
well, it's not... So then, okay, let me get this straight. So there is other than what he's talking about, there's another movement called the State of Jefferson?
Well, the State of Jefferson is not a new idea. The State of Jefferson...
I don't know.
Okay, well, yeah. Well, and I'm sure listeners don't either. The State of Jefferson started way back in the 40s.
Really?
Yeah, because, Northern California and Southern Oregon were even more isolated than their respective North and South states. Even more isolated than they are now, okay? And they really had a lot of differences. And, you know, most of it was all the money that they paid in taxes, they got none of it back. They got no benefits for it. They didn't get their roads fixed. They didn't get nothing, right? No jobs. Everything went
right
up. You know, so they said, hey, you know what? If you're not going to, include us, then we want to leave. And they actually, back in 1941, the mayor of Port Orford in Oregon, okay, he proposed that Oregon counties of Curry, Josephine, Jackson, and Klamath join the California counties of Del Norte, Siskiyou, which your last guest is in, and Modoc to form a new state later named Jefferson, okay?
Okay.
And this really started gaining momentum because everybody in both respective parts realized that it was probably the best idea now. And actually, Southern California and Northern Oregon, the governments there were not opposed to it either because they viewed them as, you know, they didn't get that many much tax dollars because it was rural and it was pretty sparsely populated. And they got, you know, they were sick of the complaining about we want money for roads, we want money for this, we want money for that because we gave you taxes. But they're looking at the books going, well, you haven't given us that much taxes. And, you know, you're more trouble than you're really worth, right?
Right.
They were like, yeah, hey, you know what? This might not be a bad idea if you left. And
yeah.
And, you know, they were actually moving towards, they pretty much had the both state legislatures that were going to say, yeah, cool, okay, fine, this is good, you want to go, go. And then the next thing is the United States Congress. Well, before they got to go to Congress, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
And that ended the whole thing.
Yeah, you said 1944. I should have thought about that.
41, yeah. Actually.
Oh, 41.
Yeah. They that ended that, you know. I mean, hey, as late as November 1941. Now, remember, December 7th was Pearl Harbor.
Right.
Here's a little clip from November 27th, 1941. A group of young men gained national attention when brandishing hunting rifles for a dramatic effect. They stopped traffic on U.S. Route 99 south of Yreka, the county seat of Siskiyou County, and handed out copies of a proclamation of independence stating that the state of Jefferson was in patriotic rebellion against the states of California and Oregon, and that they would continue to secede every Thursday until further notice. You know, but then December 7th came, and December 2nd, the mayor, who basically was, you know, promoting this, he died on December 2nd, but then December 7th, poof.
Yeah, that of course changed everything.
You know, but
yeah,
if absolutely. It wasn't for that attack, if they'd have had another year, they would have gotten it done.
Right.
So, you know, this is an idea that's been in Northern California and Southern Oregon since the 40s.
So I wonder how strong this, you know, this movement really is now that this guy's talking about.
Well, as he said, and he's right, that there's a lot more favor towards it in Northern California. And the main reason for that is because Northern California is still abused by the Southern Californian government, which is the supposed California government. But they're still getting nothing, okay? They're still basically in the same spot they were in. Now, Southern Oregon, on the other hand, has basically built itself up in the Medford metro area, okay? I mean, they really have. We were logging, we had mills, and we had all that until the federal government came in and shut all that down. Now, instead of just sitting here drying up and blowing away, kind of like, Josephine and Klamath County have, Jackson County basically said, okay, let's shift gears. And I don't know, I'm not happy with what happened, but they did something, okay? They decided to move towards the, okay, we got pretty good weather, let's make this a retirement destination. And, gee, what retired people need is lots of medical care, so let's make this the medical center of, you know, basically, I mean, I'm talking from, you know, Sacramento to Portland. In between, it's here. You know, this is the medical center. I mean, we have two big hospitals here in Medford, and you know, the surrounding area of them, and in between them is just nothing but every specialist you could imagine in the world. Now, I'm against allopathic medicine myself, so, you know, I don't appreciate this business. However, you know, it is something that built the economy here, and then with that sort of thing, what they did was they built a lot of retail stuff. So Oregon has no sales tax. So a lot of people come from California, and, you know, a lot of people come from all the surrounding areas to come to here to shop also. So, you know, so our economy is not as bad. It's not as good as it once was, but it's not as bad as, say, Northern California's is. And you know how it goes. You know, the more people hurt, the more they get God, the more they want to do something, the more they want this, and, you know, the more they're likely to do something, the more they're hurt. And the less they're hurt, the less likely they are to do anything. And that's really why Northern California is a little more active in this right now than, say, Southern Oregon. Although Klamath County and Josephine County are a lot more apt to get active because they're hurting more.
Right. Yeah, I get the picture. You know, as I was saying with him, I think this would be a good, you know, I didn't realize, you know, I don't know why I didn't ever think of it, you know, North and South Virginia, you know, I didn't think about how constitutional it was, you know what I'm saying? So I think this would be a good thing for the whole country. What do you think?
I do, too, because, I mean, for one thing, just by itself, California is far too big to be one state.
Right.
I mean, it really is. And, you know, as somebody who is really not fond of California, you might say, oh, that's just, you're just saying that because you don't like California. Well, really, you can look at California, and the California government has shown, they have demonstrated, they have proven that California is far too big for them to manage properly.
Right.
Because they have mismanaged that state into the dirt. And everybody knows it, whether you like California or you don't like California, it has been mismanaged to the point of collapse.
Right.
And it's too big. You know, I mean, it's like running a country. California is bigger than most countries. And, you know, they're not able to manage it. You know, and, you know, when something gets too big, what do people do? They cut it down in size. Well, you can't just, you know, erase, you know, it's not like a company on paper. You know, there's a geographical area involved, so you can't just erase it. So you got to think of something else. And this is a good solution to that. It's like, look, break it off, get another part, you know, and maybe then you'll be able to manage a little better.
Right. But I think it would also give encouragement, you know, I mean, to, as a warning, so to speak, to maybe some of these other liberal states in that thought pattern. And I can't believe how they're destroying California with this drought thing when all they would have had to do is just manage the water they do get.
Your last guest made a great point because that is exactly what they did. They've released all the water that could have gotten them through this situation, they've released it to the sea because some worm or something that somebody decided is endangered. Oh, they got to have, you get rid of that water, you know, and off it goes, and now they got a drought. They created this situation, and it's just another evidence of complete mismanagement. You know, and yeah, it does give a warning to other governments, you know, state governments that look, because people now figure, all right, you know, you've got your state government, and if they mismanage you into collapse, well, what else are we going to do? We've got no choice. We're stuck with what we've got. We've got the, yeah, well, this gives another option. No, we're not stuck with you.
Right.
No, if you're abusing us and collapsing our way of life, you know what? We're leaving. And this isn't a, you know, necessarily a rebellion or a secession.
Right.
This is a constitutionally provided for action. And it's been done before several times.
Well, don't that sound wonderful? That the, I mean, that, to me, that's just like music to my ears. That it's constitutional and it's set up to do it and it's been done before and it's a solution and it's in the Constitution. That's almost sounds like music to my ears.
Well, yeah, and it, you know, it's like, okay, well, okay, so why would somebody be against it?
Just the people that would want to keep them for whatever reason. But I think it's a great idea. I hope they get support to do this. I really do. California, you know, I hate to see that I hate to see it be destroyed like it is with this drought, but they haven't got any hope. That part of California doesn't have any hope unless they get rid of the liberals, huh?
Well, their big idea is, oh, let's build a big thing from the Columbia River. And yeah, well, Oregon might have something to say about that because they already wanted to do that one time. And Oregon said, hey, you know what, we're not really interested in building a huge pipeline just to shovel our water to you. No thanks. You know, maybe we might need that water ourselves. You know, but again, it's just simply mismanagement because, look, what, okay, let's say California stays California or it doesn't. The thing is, California has one of the biggest coastlines on the planet.
Right.
What's when you get to the coast, if you keep going west, what do you run into? The Pacific Ocean.
Right.
Which is full of water. All you got to do is desalinate that water, and now you have water. Usable water. And there ain't where are all the desalination plants on the coast of California?
They're not there.
I wonder just like, why.
Just like there's no dams. Oh, probably some stupid fish on the edge of the sea.
You know, the thing is, that's the whole thing, though. See, you can put fences and cages around to keep the little fishes out from getting boiled and, you know, desalinated, all right? I mean, there's a way to do it because there are other places doing it. For instance, one of the shows earlier, I didn't know this, but in the Caribbean islands, that's where they get their water. They have desalination plants. Saudi Arabia, you know, all the Middle Eastern states, they all have desalination plants. Dan, they live in the desert, okay?
Yeah, but, exactly.
But they have an ocean right there. So they're desalinating. Hey, guess what? California is nothing but a desert, okay?
Yeah,
except for a few places up north. Once you get into the mountains of the north, now you're in forest. But down Southern California is nothing but desert. Where they grow everything would be nothing but desert if they were not irrigating. And you can't irrigate if you don't have water.
Water, right.
The ocean's full of water.
I'm sold. Frank, well, tell them when they can find your radio program.
2 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Pacific, both live shows. I don't do... an evening show on Friday, though, so right. Not that one. But I do 2 hours Monday night, so I make up for it there. So that's the times. So thanks for having me on, Dan.
Okay, and you're on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, so come listen to Frank. Thanks for the comments. All right. Folks, pray about supporting Mission Church. We really do need your help. You also need to remember to always, always, always be a blessing to others. You must remember that there is only one God, and He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who came and gave His life for our repented sins. He went through a horrible death so that you might live, so that you might have eternal life. But you have to do your part. You have to repent of your sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. And, you know, I was debating with somebody that 3 days and three nights is the only sign given by Yeshua when He was asked for a sign. So any other Yeshua or Jesus is another gospel if it's not 3 days and three nights, like He said. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. Then love your neighbor as yourself. I know you find this hard, but you need to do it because it's required. Anyway, Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. to write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.